Chapter 24. They went out to the bridge at sunrise, the shelter moving across the open ground like the carapace of a multi-legged metallic turtle. The men chattered and joked loudly inside, still elated by the novelty of it. "All right, everybody, that's enough talking," Bruce shouted them down. "There's work to do now." And they began. Within an hour, the sun had turned the metal box into an oven. They stripped to the waist, and the sweat dripped from them as they worked. They worked in a frenzy, gripped by a new urgency, oblivious of everything but the rough, sawed timber that drove white splinters into their skin at the touch. They worked in the confined heat, amidst the racket of hammers and in the piney smell of sawdust. The labour fell into its own pattern, with only an occasional grunted order from Bruce or Ruffy to direct it. By midday, the four main trusses that would span the gap in the bridge had been made up. Bruce tested their rigidity by propping one at both ends and standing all his men on the middle of it. It gave an inch under their combined weight. "What do you think, boss?" Ruffy asked without conviction. "Four of them might just do it. We'll put in king posts underneath," Bruce answered. "Man, I don't know. That tanker weighs plenty." "It's no flyweight," Bruce agreed. "But we'll have to take the chance. We'll bring the Ford across first, then the trucks and the tanker last." Ruffy nodded and wiped his face on his forearm. The muscles below his armpits knotted as he moved, and there was no flabbiness in the powerful bulge of his belly above his belt. "Phew!" He blew his lips out. "I got the feeling for a beer now. This thirst is really stalking me." "You've got some with you?" Bruce asked as he passed his thumbs across his eyebrows and squeezed the moisture from them so it ran down his cheeks. "Two things I never travel without. My trousers and a stock of the brown and bubbly." Ruffy picked up the small pack from the corner of the shelter, and it clinked coyly. "You hear that sound, boss?" "I hear it, and it sounds like music," grinned Bruce. "All right, everybody," he raised his voice. "Take 10 minutes. Ruffy opened the bottles and passed them out, issuing one to be shared between three gendarmes. "These Arabs don't properly appreciate this stuff," he explained to Bruce. "It'd just be a waste." The liquor was lukewarm and gassy. It merely aggravated Bruce's thirst. He drained the bottle and tossed it out of the shelter. "All right," he stood up. "Let's get these trusses into position."
"That's the shortest 10 minutes I ever lived," commented Ruffy.
"Your watch is slow," said Bruce.
Carrying the trusses within it, the shelter lumbered out onto the bridge. There was no laughter now, only laboured breathing and curses.
"Fix the ropes," commanded Bruce.
He tested the knots personally, then looked up at Ruffy and nodded.
"That'll do."
"Come on, you mad bastards," Ruffy growled. "Lift it." The first truss rose to the perpendicular and swayed there like a grotesque maypole with the ropes hanging from its top.
"Two men on each rope," ordered Bruce. "Let it down gently."
He glanced round to ensure that they were all ready.
"Drop it over the edge and I'll throw you bastards in after it," warned Ruffy.
"Lower away," shouted Bruce. The truss leaned out over the gap towards the fire-blackened stump of bridge on the far side, slowly at first, then faster as gravity took it.
"Hold it, damn you, hold it!"
roared Ruffy, with the muscles in his shoulders humped out under the strain. They lay back against the ropes, but the weight of the truss dragged them forward as it fell. It crashed down across the gap, lifted a cloud of dead wood ash as it struck, and lay there quivering.
"Man, I thought we'd lost that one for sure," growled Ruffy, then turned savagely on his men. "You bastards better be sharper with the next one, if you don't want to swim this river."
They repeated the process with the second truss, and again they couldn't hold its falling length. But this time they were not so lucky. The end of the truss hit the far side, bounced and slid sideways.
"It's going! Pull, you bastards, pull!" shouted Ruffy.
The truss toppled slowly sideways and over the edge. It hit the river below them with a splash, disappeared under the surface, then bobbed up and floated away downstream until checked by the ropes.
Both Bruce and Ruffy fumed and swore during the lengthy, exasperating business of dragging it back against the current and manhandling its awkward bulk back onto the bridge. Half a dozen times it slipped at the crucial moment and splashed back into the river. Despite his other virtues, Ruffy's vocabulary of cursing words was limited, and it added to his frustration that he had to keep repeating himself. Bruce did much better. He remembered things that he'd heard, and he made up a few. When, finally, they had the dripping bulk of timber back on the bridge and were resting, Ruffy turned to Bruce with honest admiration.
"You swear pretty good," he said. "Never heard you before, but no doubt about it, you're good. What's that one about the cow again?"
Bruce repeated it for him, a little self-consciously.
"You make that up yourself?" asked Ruffy.
"Spur of the moment," laughed Bruce.
"That's about the dirtiest I ever heard."
Ruffy couldn't conceal his envy. "Man, you should write a book."
"Let's get this bridge finished first," said Bruce. "Then I'll think about it."
Now the truss was almost servile in its efforts to please. It dropped neatly across the gap and lay beside its twin.
"You curse something good enough and it works every time," Ruffy announced sagely. "I think your one about the cow made all the difference, boss."
With two trusses in position, they'd broken the back of the project. They carried the shelter out and set it on the trusses, straddling the gap. The third and fourth trusses were dragged into position and secured with ropes and nails before nightfall. When the shelter waddled wearily back to the lager at dusk, the men within it were exhausted. Their hands were bleeding and bristled with wood splinters, but they were also mightily pleased with themselves. "Sergeant Jacques, keep one of your searchlights trained on the bridge all night. We don't want our friends to come out and set fire to it again."
"There are only a few hours' life left in each of the batteries." Jacques kept his voice low.
"Use them one at a time, then." Bruce spoke without hesitation. "We must have that bridge lit up all night.
You think you could spare a beer for each of the boys that worked on the bridge today?"
"A whole one each?" Ruffy was shocked. "I only got a couple of cases left."
Bruce fixed him with a stern eye, and Ruffy grinned.
"Okay, boss. Guess they've earned it."
Bruce transferred his attention to Wally Hendry, who sat on the running board of one of the trucks cleaning his nails with the point of his bayonet.
"Everything under control here, Hendry?" he asked coolly.
"Sure. What do you think would happen? We'd have a visit from the Archbishop, the sky'd fall in, your French thing'd have twins or something."
He looked up from his nails at Bruce.
"When are you jokers going to get that bridge finished instead of wandering round asking damn fool questions?"
Bruce was too tired to feel annoyed.
"You've got the night watch, Hendry," he said. "From now until dawn."
"Is that right, hey? And you?
What are you going to do all night? Or does that question make you blush?"
"I'm going to sleep. That's what I'm going to do. I haven't been lolling round camp all day."
Hendry pegged the bayonet into the earth between his feet and snorted.
"Well, give her a little bit of sleep for me too, bucko."
Bruce left him and crossed to the ford.
"Hello, Bruce. How did it go today? I missed you."
Charmaine greeted him, and her face lit up as she looked at him. It's a good feeling to be loved, and some of Bruce's fatigue lifted.
"About half finished. Another day's work."
Then he smiled back at her.
"I won't lie and say I missed you. I've been too damn busy."
"Your hands," she said with quick concern, and lifted them to examine them.
"They're in a terrible state."
"Not very pretty, are they?
Let me get a needle from my case. I'll get the splinter out."
From across the lager, Wally Hendry caught Bruce's eye and with one hand made a suggestive sign below his waist. Then, at Bruce's frown of anger, he threw back his head and laughed with huge delight.